You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in 2 Samuel 22. I preached one other time years ago from this passage. I don't know what the message is. I never look it up. But I know it's different tonight. But the verse that I'm going to bring to our attention has always spoken to my heart. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray as we look at this scripture together that you'd illumine our eyes and our minds and our hearts. God, may they be soft toward thee. I do pray, God, that you would bless the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that we'd find ourselves faithful to thee. It's amazing Danielle would just sing that, because basically that's what I'm speaking about tonight. We have so many folks that become unfaithful, and they quit, and they walk away, and then they criticize or they attack. Every church in America has it. And I pray that we'd find ourselves being faithful, reliable, dependable to thee. Bless our time together tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. A passage like this speaks to my heart, because although I really believe I have a good health and good life and many years ahead of me to serve God, amen, it's very obvious that I've used up most of my years. And so somewhere along the line, the shoe's gonna drop and God's gonna take me home. These are the last words of David. David's coming to the end of his life. And as he comes to the end, he begins to sum things up. And he's beginning to talk about us and remind us about a king. A king needs to bring such refreshment to people. You have a king, and that king needs to be just a refreshment to your soul. And Israel had a king. They had King David. David was to be refreshing. But in verse 5, he tells us something. He said, although it be not so with my home. My house is not that way. Look at verse number 1. Now the Bible says, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, a man who raised up on high, anointed of God of Jacob, and a sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake to me by his word was in my tongue. And the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. Then he begins to give the qualifications of a king. He said, he that ruleth over men must be just. So if a man is going to rule over others, what must he be, class? Just. There needs to be judgment that's just. The Greek word there is justice or just. So a king must be just. He has to be fair. He has to be honest. In addition to that, he must not only be just, but ruling in the fear of God. Secondly, he must rule in the fear of God. Okay, so number one, a good king must, number one, be what? Just. He must have justice. He must have fairness with all of his subjects. And then he must, secondly, be what? Ruling in the fear of God. That I answer to God. I answer to God for my ministry. This ministry that God gave to me. I'll not answer to any other preacher. I'll not answer to a missionary board. I'll not answer to a board of elders or a board of pastors or a board of anyone else. I'll not answer to deacons, but I'll answer to God one day for this church. I must give an account, the Bible says, of this church. And the Bible says, and he shall be, number three, as the light of the morning. I love the morning. It's getting darker and darker. Did you notice that? 5:30 in the morning, it's still dark. It was light at 5 o'clock, but now at 5:30, it's dark. It is really dark. But I tell you, when that sun begins to come up, and I have that one or two cups of coffee, Rosa, I have that cup of coffee. Oh my goodness, is it great time. And the sun is coming up. And the Bible says he must be like the light of the morning. When the sun riseth, even the morning without clouds. as tender grass springing up out of the earth by the clear and by clear shining after the rain. You know, after rain, especially in the Midwest, we live there. All those lightning storms would come, and then the thunder would roll in thereafter. I remember the first time I saw that. I remember the first time I saw thunder. I was in junior high school. I was in high school, actually, and it was 1965. And we were visiting my relatives in Wisconsin. And that night, I was sleeping in the living room on a cot. And that night, I was so scared. I was about 13, I guess. And I was so scared to death because all of a sudden, it lit up. I remember 1965. I remember this day. All of a sudden, I could see the clock on the wall. And it just lit up, Brother Jose. The whole room lit up. The whole house lit up. And then the crashing of the thunder. And Brother Carl, you know what I'm talking about, from Indiana. And it scared me. It frightened me. And people, the family all started getting up. Said, "What's going on?" I'm glad they got up. I was scared to be out there by myself, quite frankly. And the Bible says, but when the rain has passed, it always in the Midwest smells so good, doesn't it? If you're from the Midwest, or I don't know, the East Coast may be the same, but that's the way it was. And he said, all these qualifications are a good king. All these qualifications would be a good pastor. Verse 5. Would you read it and stop at the word "with God"? Ready? Begin. Although my house isn't that way. My house isn't that way. My house is not just. My house is not ruling in the fear of God. My house is not like the morning light, the sun that rises. My house is not like the rain in the morning. My house is a mess. The biggest heartache in my ministry is quitters. I don't like to be around quitters. Amen. Quitters leave church. This church is no different than any other church in this regard. Titus, good to have you here today. But you know, this church is no different. We have people coming and going all the time. We have people quitting God, just quitting on God. It's just 50 years of it we've been here. We've had more people quit than those that have stayed. I've baptized nearly 20,000 people that are members of this church. 20,000. That does not include the people that were baptized we brought into this church. I've pastored thousands upon thousands. You know where most of them are tonight? They quit on God. And when I watch people quit, it always makes me nauseous in my stomach. Some quit. Some look for a softer church. We don't want Sunday night. We don't want Wednesday night. We don't want all these things. We don't want soul winning. We don't want the buses. We don't want Sunday school. We just want to go one and done. Sunday morning and that's it. That always hurts me. And they stay for a while, then they quit there. I get a little bit weary with people quitting, and then they completely quit, and then they go on the internet and attack. That's a big boy right there. A guy that feels like he's got to go and air out. No, I'm going to just tell you, no real man would post anything negative on the line. No real man. Why would you criticize a church that's trying to preach the gospel? Right. It may not dot its I's or cross its T's like you, but why would you waste breath? Why would you waste your time criticizing that man of God? Amen. Well, I was part of a church and the pastor had to leave. He was immoral. I read about one this morning that online, and a very big leader, and he had to resign his ministry. And it grieves my heart. But I'm not going to the internet and adding my 2 cents. I don't have 2 cents to give. And neither do you. And the Bible says, although it be not so with my home. Your home might be messed up. Your home might be, but he was, we find that here is David. And David said, it's not that way with my house. But he said, he finished his task. I'm preaching tonight on he finished his task. I don't care what your wife does, she walks out on you, you finish your task. I don't care what your husband does, he walks out on you, married seven other times, eight times, but you finish your task. I don't care what your children do, how they reject God, you finish your task. Here is David. David had, 2 Samuel 11, David had personal failure. He personally failed. He committed sin with Bathsheba. But although it be not so with his home, he finished his task. I like that. Amen. Yes, he ruined his life. Yes, he scarred his life. Yes, he sinned against God. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this. No, I'm not advocating sin, but I'm advocating finish your task. Whatever sin it may be, not only did he sin with Bathsheba, his family failed. Chapter 13. He had a boy. His boy's name was Amnon. And Amnon fell in love with his half-sister Tamar. And that boy had a cousin whose name was Jonadab. And Jonathan said, make yourself sick. Play like you're sick. And get her in here. You can do with her what you want to do. And he acted like he was sick. And then he tried to force his way. By the way, Tamar was wrong. She should have cried out, Daddy! Daddy! Don't try to counsel your way out of sin. Don't try to talk your way out of sin. Amen. Flee youthful lust. Amen. Tamar tried to talk to me, defiled her. He had another half-brother, Absalom. Chapter 13, Absalom did not like it. And Absalom lay wait for him for 2 years. And after 2 years, he said, now, the sheep's yours. I want you to go and I want you to kill my brother, Amnon. It's amazing how a coward always has someone else do his dirty work. And Absalom sent his the sheep shears and they killed his brother. And David heard of it. David's reaction to all of his son Absalom's sins was always wrong. He dealt with Absalom wrongly. The first thing he did when he heard of it, he rent his clothes. He tore his clothes off. Well, that's not dealing with the problem. He's got a son who's now a murderer. He's got a son who's a rebel. And he tears his clothes off. The next thing he does, he said, I'm not going to talk to you. And expelled him from his kingdom for 2 years. That's not dealing with the problem. The next thing he does is Absalom wants to see his dad, and he burns his best friend Joab's field with fire. And he says, oh, son, why'd you do that? And he hugs his son. He never dealt with Absalom like he should. And then Absalom said in chapter 15, he said, oh, if I were your king, I would treat you differently than my dad. And he had insurrection against his dad. Go with me, if you will, to chapter number 17, I believe it is. You find that Absalom in let's back it up here. Chapter number 18. David numbered the people that were with him and set captains over thousands. David beginning to work with how he should counsel. Okay, I'm sorry. It's chapter 15 I want. Chapter 15. And in chapter 15, Absalom steals the love of the 10 tribes. And verse number 13, the hearts of the men of Israel after Absalom. And in chapter number 16, Shimei comes. In chapter number 17, verse number 15, Absalom said to the people of Israel that came with him and Ahithophel with them. And it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come to Absalom. And Absalom said to Hushai, this is thy kindness to thy friend. And verse 21, and Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go. In verse 23, in the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled, there was with the man that had the oracle of God. Verse 17, chapter 17, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men. I will rise and pursue David this night. Stop right there. Stay right there. Here is David, and David's right-hand man was Ahithophel. You've heard me preach about this in days gone by. Ahithophel was David's right-hand man, but he had a problem. His granddaughter's name was Bathsheba. David, the king, stole his granddaughter from her husband, Uriah. He had such great hopes for that granddaughter. He was there at kindergarten graduation, at sixth grade graduation. He was there from high school graduation, college graduation. He was with Bathsheba when she married Uriah, the great warrior. He was there all the way. And then David took his daughter, his granddaughter, and defiled her. She had a baby out of wedlock and killed his son, her husband. Ahithophel kept working for David, but he always had a root problem. Notice what he says in chapter 13, verse 4. And the saying pleased Absalom well and the elders of Israel. Then Absalom called Hushai the Archite. Let us hear likewise what he says. And he says, Hushai, here's what Ahithophel says, and here's what you say. Verse 23, but when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass. He arose and got him home to his house and to his city, put his house in order, and he hanged himself and he died, was buried in the sepulcher of his father. We're back to chapter 22. I look at David's life and it's a mess. Everything about his life's a mess. His morals were a mess. Amnon was a mess. He was killed. Tamar was a mess, his daughter. Absalom was a mess, killed his brother. Set Joab's field on fire. He had insurrection and betrayal. Chapter 18, verse number 33. The Bible was much moved and went to the chamber over the gate and wept as he went. He said, oh, my son, Absalom, would God I died for thee, oh, Absalom, my son. David lost his son. Every one of his kids had violent deaths. Every one of his family were messed up. Every one of his children sinned against one another. And now we get to chapter 22, and he said, a man of God, he must be like the morning rain, although my house be not so with God. It's not how my house is. I've lost my wife. I've lost my children. I've lost the joy of building a temple for God. Everything in my life's a mess. Although it be not so, yet hath he made an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation, my desire, although he make it not to grow. You know, I admire David. Because David, with all that mess, stayed faithful to God. He was a man after God's own heart, the Word of God says. He was hailed as the greatest king in Israel. He had a messed up home. He had messed up morals. But he finished his race. He had to have the race redefined. Maybe this man was a pastor, and he messed up, and he's not going to pastor again. But would you let God write another race for you? God always has a race for everybody. I don't know what your race is. I don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, but God has a race for your life. You say, well, I'm old now, I'm retired. God still has a race for you. J.C. Penney says you retire to something, not from something. We have 72 people that we know of right now retired in this church. You don't sit around and just lay around. You retire to something. You retire to serving God. Being a blessing to God and being faithful so that one day when you draw your last breath, you look back on a life that, yes, I had. All of us are going to look back on regrets. I'm going to look back with great regrets. Decisions I've made, opportunities I've missed, things I did that I should not have done. I have regrets in my life. I have regrets that I wasn't a better pastor. I love you, and God knows I love you. I have regret that what I've not done with this Word of God. I have regrets what we could have had, what we should have had. Yes, we all have regrets, but I'll tell you, I can't focus on my regrets. I have to finish my course and finish and look at God wants me to finish my race. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished. Paul said, I finished my course. And tonight, child of God, that's all I'm asking for you, that you stay in the battle, you stay in the front lines. Lee Robertson was such a dear friend of mine. I love Lee Robertson. Lee Robertson pastored about 12,000 people, white-haired gentleman, southern gentleman. He was such a faithful man. About 2 weeks ago, they took his property, his 10,000-seat auditorium. The whole place is now empty. 5,000 students who were there at Tennessee Temple. There's no Tennessee Temple. It's all gone. There's no Highland Park Baptist Church. And 2 weeks ago, they took concrete. There's a cornerstone that they had in Tennessee Temple School and Highland Park Baptist Church and the Church of the Green Light. All of that was etched in that stone, and they covered it all up. His memory's just a memory now. His church is just a memory. But he finished his course. Jack Hiles finished his course. Hate it. My wife said, that man's been dead 25 years and people still writing against him. They hate him. People that weren't even alive when he was still pastoring. Bobby Robertson, what a great man of God. What a great man of God. He's gone. I have a picture in my office. Bobby Robertson, Raymond Barber, and Raymond Hancock. All three, Brother Barber died about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. All three are gone now. Brother Seitler's gone. And every one of these, Lester Roloff died at 68 in a plane crash. Every one of them came to the end of their life, and it was burdensome. I recall one of those men, the doctor said to him years before his death, they said, you have to have this open heart surgery. You have to have it. You're going to die. I believe he chose not to have it because he was just tired. I believe he was tired. I believe God was gracious to Lester Roloff as he fought the governor of Texas, and he fought Texas with his homes down there. His buildings went up for sale this week. Hundreds and hundreds of acres and a runway for his plane where he used to took off, and all those homes, they're all up for sale now. I saw the sign, for sale. Lester Roloff. I believe he was so worn out that God in his grace just took him home that day. His last song he sang, and he died in a field. My God and I go in the field together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. And God took him home that day. Tom Malone was so worn out. He built that great Midwestern Baptist Church and Midwestern Baptist Bible College and Emmanuel Baptist Church. He built that, and then it fell apart, and he came back and tried to resurrect it. It never got resurrected. And there it sits empty tonight. Empty, empty, empty. But he finished his course. I don't know what your course is. It might be coming to church by yourself because your mate dies, or because your mate walks out on God or walks out on you. I don't know what it's going to be. It might be that all your kids grow up and leave you, but you can still be faithful.
Amen.
God's been so faithful to me. Danielle, thank you for singing that song tonight. What a faithful God we serve. Amen. Now, I'm going to be faithful. I can do that. I can't talk to you from the Greek or from the Hebrew. I don't know that. I can't talk to you from Aramaic. I don't know that. But I can be faithful.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.